President Trump doesn't like the stimulus deal, meaning there are new questions about when pandemic relief checks might show up. I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump released a video last evening saying the $900 billion COVID relief bill passed by Congress is a disgrace, needs to be reconfigured, and that $600 a person is not enough. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us from Washington. Nancy, will this delay the relief checks?
Possibly, David. But remember, Trump did not specifically threaten to veto the COVID relief bill. If he were to sign it, the checks could go out very soon. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said earlier this week the money would land in Americans' bank accounts as soon as next week. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tweeted last night, Democrats could vote this week on a bill that would increase the relief payments to $2,000. That vote could come tomorrow, but then the Senate would have to approve it unanimously, which is unlikely.
And what happens if Trump vetoes the bill?
Both the House and Senate approved the COVID relief package by veto-proof majorities, so Congress could override the president's veto with a two-thirds majority in each chamber, but those votes would have to be scheduled, and many members of Congress have already gone home for the holidays.
So, realistically, if the president doesn't sign this bill right away, people won't see those checks for a while?
Right. And even if President Trump does nothing, if he doesn't veto it, but also doesn't sign it, it would still take 10 days for the bill to become law without his signature.
Nancy, thank you. The stock market is calm about this at the moment, perhaps based on history that Trump has threatened to veto spending legislation in the past, but has not done so. The S&P future is up 0.3% now. This morning, we'll get the University of Michigan survey on how consumery people are feeling during the short days amid pandemic. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
Even with positive news about vaccinations, most of the news about the economy and COVID spread has been downbeat lately, says Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union.
Retail spending is decreasing, and the times are not good. Even with the federal aid package, we're looking at a few bleak months.
How consumers feel about the future depends a lot on how pandemic shutdowns and layoffs have affected them, says Mark Hamrick at Bankrate.com.
There are a lot of people who are doing just fine, who've been able to work from home. They may own their home. They have substantial assets.
They're not overly worried about the future. Other workers are more anxious.
Those who have really been on the front lines of these industries hurt most during the pandemic, leisure and hospitality, retail, and they are more financially fragile.
He says a recent Bankrate survey found that half of American households have lost income in the pandemic. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Many people have those plans at work where you save a bit of your paycheck pre-taxes so your money stretches further for things like medicines, flexible spending accounts. Amid pandemic, Congress this year expanded the list of items that can be purchased this way, and for the first time, feminine hygiene products can be paid for with pre-tax money from the FSA. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Up until this year, you couldn't spend FSA money on tampons, pads, or other products for periods. Jennifer Weiss-Wolf is a vice president at the Brennan Center for Justice and co-founder of the group Period Equity.
Now people can use the pre-tax dollars that they put aside for menstrual products if they buy the FSA store or with reimbursable expenses.
And that's led to a lot of new business for companies that sell reusable period products, silicone menstrual cups or washable pads, which can be more expensive up front than disposables. Lindsay Arnold is a vice president at Thinx, a company that makes period underwear.
So it's actually really, really helped. It's driven about a 40% increase in our overall sales.
Arnold says that's translated into millions of dollars in unexpected revenue this year, also helping the fact that many people are working from home and doing more shopping online.
And I think people are more willing, you know, to try something when they're in the comfort of their own home that they haven't tried before.
But to have an FSA account, you usually have to have a job. and health insurance. And a lot of people right now have neither. Lynette Medley runs No More Secrets, a nonprofit in Philadelphia that delivers free period supplies directly to low-income families.
We had people who couldn't get COVID tests, people who couldn't stand in line for food, people who can't even go to a doctor's appointment because they didn't have menstrual hygiene products. So they were actually bleeding down their legs or in their clothes and they couldn't go anywhere.
Medley says she's glad to see more attention for the issue, but points out this expansion of FSA eligibility primarily helps people with higher incomes.
But then I'm thinking, is this addressing menstrual equity, menstrual inequality, and period poverty with most of our vulnerable populations?
According to 2018 research from the Alliance for Period Supplies, one in four women struggle to purchase those supplies due to a lack of income. And that was before the pandemic. Weiss Wolf at Period Equity says even if these recent changes don't expand access for everyone,
we can now say that the federal government is acknowledging the medical necessity of menstrual products. I think that will help fuel advocacy at the state level.
Like pushing to repeal sales taxes on menstrual supplies in dozens of states. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
You can roll over up to $500 in unused money from one of these Flex accounts into the new year. There also can be a few months grace period. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.